they say. Back in his younger days, prohibition was the talk, but the rich folks walked to the woods where my daddy stayed. Jugs and jars, some shiners. These old boys here, they ain't miners. They came from the 29ers that didn't take a hole in the ground to put the bottom in their face.
Welcome, Pewter Report, readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Mr. Reynolds. We're just going to call him that from now on because he's an elderly gentleman.
Thank you.
We have to always respect our elders. The man bun himself, wearing his pink shorts again that are entirely too short and at a bad angle for me right now, but I'm going to try not to look, is Mr. Trevor Sikkema.
Why do you think I set the seats up like this?
This is very, very uncomfortable. What's our HR policy on sexual harassment?
Don't have one.
Don't have one.
Okay.
I didn't sign anything. So.
Well, that's good to know, actually. So yeah. Anyway. All right, very good.
It's better for you than for me.
Well, maybe. Good news is this long grind of 2 weeks of watching guys hit each other is almost over.
Thank God.
Friday night, finally, to hit someone else.
Bucks-Bengals, be there Friday night.
It's going to be electrifying in Paul Brown Stadium.
I'll tell you what.
I had no idea what the stadium name was called.
Yeah, so. I just guessed
Paul
on
Brown,
that. I'm not sure.
Former owner of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who used to coach the Browns. Yeah. But anyway. Different story.
That's why they're called the Browns.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I think I did know that.
Okay.
I think I did know that.
You didn't know that.
I think I did. I would admit it if I had no idea. Because yeah. I have admitted on guys who are plenty famous that I have no idea who they are.
Do you know who Donnie Abraham is? No
idea.
It's
like Abraham Lincoln's.
No.
Is that the same?
No.
We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Yes. But Dirk Cutter came out today and said that Jameis Winston and the starters will play the first quarter. So not just the first series, they're going to get the first quarter of action. And we'll see if today, which was a very good day for Jameis Winston, if he can carry that over into the first preseason game.
You know what? I think that's good, though. Because some people might think the whole first quarter is a little too much. But we've seen in practice, they're not making a lot of contact. They're getting into each other a little bit, but
Cook called this the softest Bucks training camp practice I've only seen two,
so you guys know more than me, but right. It's definitely like even the linebackers, when they make shoulder contact with anybody,
yes.
They let up. That's it.
It's
nothing.
It's a thud tempo. No one really goes to the ground. There's no tackling. We haven't even seen any live goal line situations, and we're not going to. Dirk Cutter's focus, we talked about this this week in his press conferences. He wants to get everybody healthy to week one in Miami. That's the objective,
is
to get all hands on deck to Miami in week one. And while that has some merit, I think that he's making the right move, as you said, Trevor, in letting the starters play the first quarter so they get acclimated to the contact and the tackling and the blocking.
Well, Phil, you'd rather have them hit. Go full speed for it. And when you're thinking about health and preserving guys, you'd rather have them go hard for four games instead of, 30 practices?
Yeah. Well, it's only going to be three games. You're not going to see any starters out there.
Right, okay. So, but you're starters, you're a vet. You know what it's like.
I said it on the last podcast. How is Justin Evans going to learn to tackle if he doesn't tackle? I guess he's going to have four preseason games to figure it out.
He will. Yeah.
I don't think they're expecting him to start, though.
I talked to Chris Conte today. It'll be up in the new training camp diary.
Name drop. I mean, you're talking to Chris Conte.
I talked to Titus O'Neil today.
Over here, chop liver.
Who's Titan O'Neil?
Titus O'Neil, WWE, my friend.
Come on.
Big What's time WWE? World Wildlife Federation?
No, that would be WWF.
Oh. Didn't he used to wrestle for
Wrestling Entertainment.
Federation? No?
No.
I don't understand any of that wrestling stuff.
Steve Irwin, former World Heavyweight Champion.
Gordon Solie and Dusty Rhodes aren't involved. I don't understand anything to do with wrestling. All right, so from the Fort Hesterly Armory Arena. Saturday nights. Listen, Florida Championship Wrestling from Florida. That's another thing you need to learn about, Trevor. We'll get into that another time, too. I wonder about this. I mean, you know what it's like? It's like when you have a brand new iPhone, right? And you decide, I'm not going to get a case on it.
Okay.
Which I guess I'm the only one that does that. And you're
You don't have a case?
No.
He doesn't have a case. Oh, he doesn't believe in cases.
First of all, these phones are a work of art. Why are we going to cover them up? Do you cover up your Picasso at home in your living room? Oh, let me just put a shield over so nobody can see it.
You don't have a Picasso either, Coke. What are you talking about?
Well, a Picasso?
I got a Picabo, all right? I got it at the flea market. It's almost exactly the same.
Okay.
But anyway, the point is they're beautiful phones. But my point is you try when you try not to do something, that's when things tend to happen. When you try not to drop something or break something, that's when they tend to happen.
You know what? We'll know in a month whether this team made the right call in going with a soft type of environment here
in terms of,
you know, only having thud tempo, no tackling, no live periods, goal line or red zone or anything like that. We'll see.
And thankfully for them, even if you get into the regular season and it's like, hey, we still need to get used to contact a little bit more, those first two games are relatively easy. I know no NFL game is quote unquote easy.
Wow.
But
I'm going to let Dirk know that.
You said that.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I mean, statistically, Miami and Chicago are the easiest ones they have on the schedule. Their schedule's tough.
They play the Jets this year, too, Trevor.
That's true. Okay, I mean, let's throw them in the third one. That might be the easiest.
That should be. Yeah.
I didn't say they were the easiest. I said they were decently easy.
Miami's going to be a tough game.
With who at quarterback? The guy they intercepted for the last year?
I was going to say there's more talent around Cutler in Miami than they ever had in Chicago. But anyway, listen, you know, I worry about that. I wonder about that, but we'll see. I mean, Dirk gets paid millions of dollars to make these calls, and we get paid pennies on the dollars to analyze and critique his calls. So we'll see what happens.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks with Winston and Dirk Cutter, it's interesting how Ryan Griffin has really asserted himself in the first 2 weeks here. You know, everybody thought that I think everybody thought but us. I don't think we kind of came out and started carving out the tombstone for Ryan Griffin. Matter of fact, I went on 620 after they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I'm on record as saying, don't count out Ryan Griffin because he knows this offense. Well, you thought that at the time. But
I mean, you are crazy.
A little bit.
That's a fact.
A little bit.
But I thought you were crazy about the Fitzpatrick thing.
Well, I wasn't, though, and it's really showing on the field. Not that Fitzpatrick can't come in, Mr. Harvard, and learn this offense. He has. But just the arm strength that Ryan Griffin has, which is superior to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's not saying a whole bunch because it's not in the same league or caliber of Jameis Winston's. But that's really been the standout thing for me was how Griffin has really, I think, through the first 2 weeks of camp, and we'll see how it is in the preseason, but he's taking kind of command of the second string right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, I thought Fitzpatrick would be playing a lot better than he is right now. But, I mean, there's times that, just my opinion, he doesn't even look like he wants to be out there at times. I mean, you know, he's kind of side-arming the ball from time to time.
What else is he
going to
do,
like
solve a Rubik's Cube?
I mean, he is pretty smart. He's probably bored solving Rubik's Cubes. But, I mean, there's crossword puzzles or, you know, something. You can find him some Sudoku or whatever those games are. Something to stimulate his Harvard mind. But I don't know that playing in the NFL at this point is going to do it for him because he just, to me, again, he looks disinterested. I can't say it.
Disinterested.
You got it the first time.
Yeah,
I think you did. Okay, well, point is, you know, and again, look, maybe he's a gamer. Maybe he always practices crappy. I don't know. We'll find out again on Friday night.
I don't know that the arm strength is going to, like, show up suddenly when the lights come on. I just don't.
They'll give him a shot, like in, you know, Varsity Blues or something, get him out there on the field. He'll be fine. I'll be wearing a whipped cream bikini.
Yeah, well, and one of the guys that I think all the quarterbacks have thrown to is Chris Godwin. This guy continues to make play after play. Trevor, you do the vast majority of our tweets, and especially the video. You do a great job of that, by the way.
Pretty good job.
For our Pewter Report account during practices, and I don't think a day goes by where you're not showcasing, you know, one or two Chris Godwin highlights or touchdowns or both, because the guy's just been... He does not look like a rookie at all.
Yeah, he's for sure the most consistent guy that we have had video and highlight-wise. It's like I think yesterday it was I tweeted out with a video of him. It's your daily dose of Chris Godwin because it is. He makes some kind of play, whether it's on the first or the second team or whatever. He's normally the featured player on the second team, but he gets reps here and there. You know, the touchdown he had yesterday, the really nice touchdown in the end zone from Winston, that's on the first team. You know, it was in a drill where they were trying to march down the field and take clock into effect and all of that. And so he's been great. And I know that this time of the year you can get carried away with just hearing what the coaches and the players say. It's like, oh, yeah, we look good. We feel good. No, this guy's good. All of this, it's all positive. But the Chris Godwin hype, it's real.
It's legit.
It's totally real.
I spoke with Mike Evans. I'm going to be featuring Godwin in my SRS Fab 5 on Friday about how this guy – could be the headliner for the Bucs this preseason. We could be witnessing the Chris Godwin show in August.
He could destroy.
Because of the reps he's going to get.
Yeah, second team guys. Yeah. Like, if he's playing the majority with the second team, I don't know many backup defensive backs that are going to be able to handle him.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to if the Bucs quarterbacks can get the ball to him accurately. But Mike Evans said that Chris Godwin knows the playbook just as well as he does. And he's like, and Mike's like, hey,
that's fake news.
No, he said, this is my third year and he knows it as well as I do. And that's the thing. I talked to Adam Humphries, Fitzpatrick, some of the DBs that have tried to guard him, Jude IJ Barima.
Hold him.
And they all say the same thing, that this guy knows what he's doing. He has got the playbook down. Great route runner, great hands. He does not look like a rookie. Going to be fun to see him on Friday.
I want to let you guys know that I did sign the contract, Jude and I did, for the undercard on the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
So yeah, there we go.
We'll have some promotional material for that probably next week or maybe in the coming weeks.
But yeah, we're definitely on the undercard.
Well, Jude's been training too, apparently, and he did hurt his knee in training. He has a brace on right now.
That's what they say
happened to his knee.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is they're calling it a football injury. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it might not be. I'm saying he might have done some MMA training
to get ready
at
for
night.
Wait, is this a boxing match or is it MMA? We're getting in the octagon.
You know what?
Which one is it,
Mark? I'm going to say no holds barred.
I'm street fighting.
Wow, okay. All right.
I'm going to say no holds barred. We'll make a metal chair available.
Look, I'm not.
You want to do a folding chair?
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, I got to keep some razor blades.
Somebody's getting a steel chair to the back, WWE style. That's all I'm saying. I don't know who it's going to be. Yes. I don't know who's going
to
come out.
That's if he makes it to the ring, because I have a certain friend who may be visiting Jude named Tanya Harding.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I pull a Nancy Kerrigan on Jude.
You know what, too?
Or maybe I already did.
Had a great conversation with Titus O'Neil today after practice. He gave a great shout-out to our Pewter Report readers out there. He is an avid Pewter Report reader, a big-time Bucks fan. I might get him to be the celebrity referee for that match.
I'm about it.
He gave me his number. I think I'm going to call him up and say, can you do this?
I have a feeling it would be one of those where, as he's the referee, he gets distracted and looks over there while Jude pulls out a pool stick and jabs my eye or something.
I thought it was a street fight.
And then he turns around and he's like, I didn't see anything. I don't know what happened.
Or he could be such a huge Bucks fan. He might be one of those undercover refs where he's actually on Jude's side.
That's what I mean.
And as you go to pin him, you know, like he'll come and do an elbow drop in the back of your neck.
Two and a half, 2 3/4, and then Jude scores out right before 3.
Slow count.
Who would come and save you, though? So in this WWE scenario,
it wouldn't be me.
Who's running through the entrance?
Sir Oliver Humperdinck, my manager, will save me. Oh, wait, he died recently.
All right, enough of this damn wrestling. Can we get back to the Bucks talk?
Even got off of it. Hey, speaking of Godwin, though, can't sing. We saw that on Hard Knocks.
Yes,
the other night.
Cannot.
Can't sing. Yeah. Actually, in fact, well, I was going to say none of the rookies could sing, but Cepho wasn't
Cepho
too bad.
Cepho was carrying the tune.
Cepho was all right.
And I'll tell you what, too. Our guy, Anthony Autler, I thought did a really good job.
Singing the Canadian national anthem.
In French, too. He did it in French.
Everybody stood up.
Covered their hearts.
Had to.
And, you know, and
you don't gotta stand
showed
up
some
that.
Respect to our friends up north.
Yeah, our allies.
I did the recap from last night, and I kind of put a couple of my favorite moments, but what were some of you guys' favorite moments from Hard Knocks? Did you like it? How was it? Do you think the first episode was good or what?
I've seen every episode of Hard Knocks for every year. I'm a Hard Knocks enthusiast. I thought it was right up there, and especially since I've covered this team so long. I thought the most interesting part was the conversation between Jameis and Dirk.
Sure.
Just from a football purist perspective, that was the coolest thing for me, was to be able to see those types of conversations right there, you know, and to see Dirk just analyze that depth chart, you know, over and over and over again. There's different shots of him going up to the board and just looking at this roster, mm-hmm. just trying to get the right 53. That was really cool to see. And the other thing too is right when Dirk started talking, he puts the words "earn it" up there on the screen, and I tweeted that out
first shot
because this team has gotten an awful lot of hype. They're the media darlings. You know, they've gone from the pariah to the darlings now, the Cinderella stories, chic pick to make the playoffs. And if I mean, look at today. We're doing this in the big studio room because NFL Network's here. You've got NFL Sirius Radio is here. They were on Good Morning Football.
Yeah, they've been on Good Morning Football.
60 Minutes is here.
Yes, with Morley Safer.
Yeah, Mike Wallace.
Yeah, and Dan Rather.
Maury Povich.
No, I don't think he was part of it.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, they may be doing some paternity tests in the back, but
I don't know.
You are the father.
And, of course, Hard Knocks.
A little Maury Povich.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Maury would be good.
And, of course, Hard Knocks. So, you know, to me, with all of these expectations and all of the press and the coverage and all of the flowery praise, Dirk's message was, you got to earn it. All the talk is nothing but talk. You got to go out there and do it. You got to earn the respect that people are putting in your ear right now. And I thought it was a great message.
I like, though, Dirk, accepting it. Hey, we are. This is the most talented team we've had in a long time. He made that clear a couple times, one time to Jameis about, you can't lose the game for us. You don't necessarily have to win it, but you can't lose it for us.
Yeah.
And he's embracing those expectations. But he said what I thought was very good was nobody has higher expectations for this team more than we do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the national guys and we can have expectations, but they have their own expectations. And I remember Warren Sapp one time when somebody asked him before the season in the locker room, what do you think your guys' record are going to be this year? And he's like 16-0. And the reporter's like, what? You guys aren't going to lose a game? He goes, I play for the damn team. You want me to say we're going to lose a game?
Yeah.
Good point. And that's the way this mentality has to be. When these guys,
stupid question.
Well, it was a stupid question, but everyone wants, predictions.
You guys are going to finish.
I think we're going to lose 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, we're going to come up short here.
Right. And that was exactly Warren's point. It was a stupid question. So, these guys have expectations to be playing in the first week of February. Now, whether they get there, only one out of 32 teams is going to be the champion and hold that trophy, but it's happened before.
Yeah.
I'm not anywhere near predicting that, but this team is taking steps and bridging gaps. And, Scott, you and I can go back to sitting up in that press box in late 2011, watching the Houston Texans come in here on the score on the first play of the game. We can remember the Baltimore Ravens 5 touchdowns in the first half in a game.
I watched that. I remember watching that game.
Yeah.
And it was...
Just felt sorry for the stand.
It's
got
to be.
How about the Tennessee Titans? How about Lovie Smith saying, we're trying to get Tennessee ready? You weren't Tennessee ready.
Right.
You had a rookie quarterback come down here and just destroy you. Jameis Winston throws a pick six in his first play.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota looks like Tom Brady. And it's off to the races. And yes, this team has come so far so fast. I'm not going to pick them for the Super Bowl, but I'm certainly not going to disqualify them or count them out either.
Right. I agree. I saw Maurice Jones-Drew is here for NFL Network or Sirius or whoever he's working for, and I think it's NFL Network. And I remember before that game against the Jaguars in 2011, and Raheem Morris called him a rolling ball of butcher knives.
Yeah,
and we're like, yeah, he's good, but he's not that good. Well,
he made the Bucks
42-14 was the final of that game.
Yeah. That game.
And I think the Bucks got up early in that game, didn't they?
They were 14-0.
And then it was just an onslaught. 42 unanswered points by the Jaguars.
It's not great.
Donald Penn was terrible in that game. He just quit. There was a lot of guys that quit. But then, by the end of that season, they were done. But what I'm saying is, I go back to those times. It doesn't seem that long ago, but it really was. It was 6 or 7 seasons ago. But, fast forward to this point, things have really fallen in place. Getting that number one pick, being able to draft Jameis Winston, just created a nice chain of events. And you made the call, Scott, Lovie Smith, get rid of this guy, replace him with Dirk Koetter.
Yep.
And I remember you took some ridicule in that media room right across from where we are right now. But you were absolutely right. I mean, this team was not going to go to the heights they needed to go.
I was told by several people in there that said, this team's not going to fire Lovie Smith. And my whole stance was, I don't make the call,
right?
But they should fire him.
Right.
I'm not saying he's going to be fired.
Right.
What I'm saying is he needs to be fired, and he needs to be replaced by Dirk Koetter.
Yeah.
Because this guy is the best offensive mind that I've seen in Tampa Bay since John Gruden.
Yep.
And, and sure enough, that's what played out, and it's playing out for the better. Jameis Winston looked very, very, very good last night on Hard Knocks. You and I and everybody doing this podcast, and probably a lot of our listeners too, know that's the real 100% genuine Jameis.
Yeah.
When you see him get animated, the people that don't follow Jameis, don't follow the Buccaneers, don't know him that well, might think he's playing to the cameras, but he's not. That is the real deal Jameis Winston. And Trevor, you've been around here, the least of us, but you have been around Jameis enough to know that what you saw last night was genuine.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this too. I mean, like, I went to UF when Jameis was at Florida State. I hated Jameis when he was at Florida State because he was...
Why?
Because he was the best in the country.
Why? Why'd you hate him?
Because he played for Florida State.
And he didn't lose to you guys. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we haven't beat you in forever, so that doesn't matter. I mean, like, that's not... I barely remember what that's like.
1986? I mean, 1986?
2002.
Something like that. No, it hasn't been that long. You're right. 2013. But anyway, who's counting?
So, yeah, I mean, like, I hated Jameis Winston for a long time. And then obviously I grew up here, so gets drafted by the Buccaneers. Now I'm in the media side of it, so I get to see the real him about it. And man, yeah. I had a person text me last night when this is going on. He's like, "Man, I love all the Jameis love." And I just said back to him, "You can't help it."
Yeah,
it's for me. I came from a point where I disliked this guy so much because of where he went to school mm-hmm. and the things that he did to my school.
Yeah,
and he has already won me over so much as just because I'm a fan of his character. I get to see who he is every day. And you're right. What people saw in Hard Knocks, I think, is only the beginning of what they're going to see over the next five episodes of how easy it is to root for this guy.
Our good friend JP Peterson from 620 tweeted out last night, and I retweeted it. I thought it was a great point. He said, you know, at this point, if you're a Jameis hater, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's on you and your character if you have hate for this guy, because once you meet him, I mean, I just don't know if this guy has any enemies. I mean, he
has a lot of enemies.
Still, well, but I think that he's going to have fewer and fewer as Hard Knocks goes on.
Sure,
because he's doing a lot with this to reshape his national image for the better. So yeah, I was happy to see that.
Jameis is, and we've told stories before on this podcast and on Derek's What the Buck podcast, you know, inside stories and things like that about, you know, how genuine the guy is. I mean, I was here late last week one day. It was me and Jenna Lane were the only ones here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of a sudden the door opens to the media room.
Yeah.
And here comes Jameis walking in with a, you know, Tupperware bowl of food or whatever it was. And he's like, "Hey, where's the microwave? I'm like, around the corner. And he's like, "What's up, Mark? What's up, Jenna?" Nukes his food and gets out of there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not a big deal. That has nothing to do with character.
But he's normal.
He's a weird normal guy. I mean, here's the number one draft pick, Heisman Trophy winner, face of the franchise, you know, Pro Bowl guy. And he just walks in, like, "Hey, man, where's the microwave at?" You know, mm-hmm. and then when he leaves, like, "What's up, man?" And you know, just a cool, normal guy. He knows all of our names. And that's something that, you know, he's done and been that way. He just has a knack for doing those things. I mean, sure, they might quiz him and give him pictures of who's who. We saw that on a thing with Fox last year in the pregame. But he wants to do that. He wants to be able to say, "Hey, what's up, Trevor?" You know, when you're interviewing him and things like that. Not because he wants to be your friend, but because he wants to show you respect.
Yeah,
and
knowing somebody's name is such a big deal. And it shows that you're genuine about...
Yeah,
I had a friend that played.
Know them.
I had a friend that played with Jameis. He was a walk on at Florida State, and
your son Alan Cross.
No, it wasn't Alan, but he wouldn't have played. Nick O'Leary was too good. But what he said was Jameis.
Was it Red Lightning?
Jameis treated the. I am Red Lightning. Jameis,
okay. Sorry.
Jameis treated the walk ons the same as he did the star players. He didn't play favorites, and we see that here. We see him palling around with a guy like Alan Cross, which was essentially.
If you're a Buccaneer,
you're a Buccaneer.
Right. If you're a Seminole, you're a Seminole to him.
Yep,
that's just how it is.
You know, he's just a down to earth guy. I try and convey that to people. Sometimes it's hard to explain, and you know, some people may think it's a little fake or put on, but I haven't seen any evidence of that at all.
Well, you kind of saw it a little bit last night in the show too, when he was back at Alabama. That was the first shot that they had of him back there, and he's meeting. I don't know if it's his sister or his cousin.
It was his cousin.
His cousin's boyfriend. Yeah. And he was just, and he like genuinely was like, "How come you didn't introduce me to him? Like, what's going on?"
Like, "Hey, where's your manners?
Yeah, introduce me to your guy over here. Let me meet him." And so it's just kind of like that. He wants to meet people. He wants to get to know people. And that's a really cool part of who he is. It really is.
I thought one more cool thing about Hard Knocks was the fact that, you know, I'm a big Games of Thrones guy. I love Game of Thrones. And
I don't play games.
I know. It's a TV show. It's a widely popular television program
on HBO.
I thought
it was like Dungeons & Dragons.
For several years.
It is.
It's actually, like a live action version of Dungeons & Dragons. Emphasis on the dragons lately, which is so cool. But I love how...
You realize there's no such thing as dragons. Never was, right?
Well, I'm not going
to
say
that. Of course,
that.
There's not guys that fly in tights, too, with superpowers that you tend to like to watch those movies as
slow
well.
Slow down now, Cook. You're getting out of your lane here a little bit.
All right.
But what I'm saying is from Jason Light to John Hoke to a lot of the players...
Gerald,
Kevin Pamphile,
everybody.
Jameis, everybody was having that Game of Thrones discussion at the end too, which is a really cool humanistic side to these guys.
Yeah, a little bit of self promotion there from HBO, which happens to air that show.
Hurt.
No, not a bad idea on their part. Anyway, training camp in the middle of it. I was going to say wrapping up, but that's not true. But we are to that point now where it's live games. It's Friday night. Couple things you're looking to see in that game, Trevor.
Give us two things you're looking for Friday night.
Wide receiver battle for sure. There's just so many wide receivers on the roster, and a lot of guys have had good days here and there. You know, like Bubba Wilson's had a couple of really good days. Obviously, Chris Godwin's going to be the fourth wide receiver.
I think so Darrell Walker's had a really fine camp.
My man. Okay, yes. So Darrell Walker is the guy who I said was going to be the fifth receiver that was going to get taken. Yeah. Early on in the camp, he was sitting on the third team, wasn't really getting the ball, and I was like, oh, that's not going to prove to be good. But then really started – probably last weekend, they ran a couple of goal line red zone drills. He dominated that, got a touchdown there. Yeah. We saw today they ran goal line again, got another touchdown on a fade route.
He should be with the second team by now, in my opinion.
And so every
time, if I'm making the depth chart, I put him on the second, and I move Josh up down to the third.
Every time they run like a drive, you know, sometimes when you do scrimmages, the ball stays in the same place. Like we're practicing from the 40 or something. But in any drive, in any scrimmage where they're driving the ball, the third team, Darrell Walker is completely the emphasis.
He shows up.
He's completely the emphasis. So I wonder, you know, if he has a really nice game here on Friday, if we're going to start seeing him with the second, like it's going to start running him and Godwin are the two outside receivers on the second team. You know, so I'm interested to see that with the wide receivers because Josh Huff's had a couple of nice times, nice days too. But I know Bucks fans are rolling their eyes at that. But cornerback's another position, just getting solidified there. Who's going to play what, where on the depth chart because they seem to be rotating. Elliott and, you know, Ajay Bream is hurt now, and Grimes, you know, he cut his leg today, so we're going to get to see Ryan Smith probably play most
with
of the
starting,
one reps.
The starting job opposite
Bernard
Hargraves.
Getting that sorted out, and then just the defensive line. Those are all – those three positions are what I would call, like, the pinch positions for the cuts, where when you get down to, all right, we have 60 players.
Yeah.
We have to get down to 53. It's just going to be a bunch of wide receivers, a bunch of D linemen, and probably one or two defensive backs. Yeah. And I think that Cutter's just going to look at that chart and really rack his brain over who to keep. And I think that the games are going to mean a lot for those positions. Yeah. So.
For me, the two things I'm looking for, and they're not terribly sexy, but they're very important. Number one is kick returner. Well,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to see somebody return kicks. Last year, Kenny Bell got the job. In week one and fumbled on the opening kickoff at Philadelphia in the very first preseason game. Yeah. So I want to see if there is somebody that can step up, whether it's Ryan Smith or Huff or Bubba Wilson or whoever.
I bet Huff takes the first one.
He might.
Think.
But I want to see some productivity there because the Buccaneers' kick return game was awful last year.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, I want to see the kicking duel really come to the forefront.
Sure.
I want to see a lot of field goal opportunities.
You know what? I was thinking about
this
yesterday.
Preseason.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I hope they send Nick Folk out to take the first kick. And I hope they send Nick Folk out to take the second kick. Because, and I hope he makes both of them. Because
you don't like Aguayo.
No, because for Aguayo, the only thing you need to test is pressure. That's it.
Yes.
He can kick.
Yeah.
Of course he can kick. He's got the leg.
Yeah.
All it needs is pressure. So today kind of ruined it because today Aguayo went 5 for 5. Well, I quote-unquote ruined it. It was good for Aguayo.
Yeah.
It ruined it because Aguayo went 5 for 5 and Folk missed one of his field goals.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd kind of be hoping it's the other way around and they could have really put the pressure on Aguayo to then send him in and see how he really does with it.
There's a couple things to that, though. Like what you're saying is to manufacture the pressure from being down 2-0 in terms of the kick.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, though, is to be on a streak and continue that. To have the confidence
he had a great day
keep
today,
going
so.
With that. You know, and then if you make 5 kicks today and you start the preseason, you know, 3 or 4 kicks in a row, can you keep that going? And then what happens when you miss one? Are you going to make your next 4 or 5 again? Or is that the start of a slump? So this preseason, you know, the kicker position is vitally important. It's the most your top point producer is what you're looking for. And this is still a field goal league. With all the emphasis in the passing game and the quarterback, we get that. But at the end of the day, it's about extra points and field goals. It's games that are won or lost 23-21, and it's vitally important. And it's been a very good neck-and-neck competition, and I want to see which one of these guys starts, you know, to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, and I think you guys hit on pretty much everything I was going to say. You know, the kicking battle, I don't think we're going to see Dirk go for it on fourth down at any point this preseason.
Yes.
Let's send a kicker out there. Any opportunity to get a kicker out
Dirk
there,
might
I think
even,
he's
like,
going to
run
do
the ball
that.
On third and eight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, to set up scenarios.
The red zone, yeah.
And that's what this preseason has to be. I know sometimes fans get, you know, obsessed about they win or lose. it doesn't matter. It's basically situational practices against another team, yep. and that's the way you got to go into it. I was talking to Chris again today, and he said, you know, obviously there's no game planning for this. We don't really know what our game plan is on the defense. We're just going to go there, and there's certain things we want to work on. We're also going to not show all of our cards. It's going to be pretty basic. Same thing offensively.
Yeah.
We mentioned DeSean Jackson, or the starters playing all the first quarter. I have a feeling like a guy like DeSean Jackson's going to
– he might get a series.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll put Chris Godwin there for him and rotate him out.
I don't know.
So we're going to have our next podcast right after the Bucks-Bengals game with some instant reaction. So that'll be up Saturday morning for you guys to listen to. Trevor and Mark are going to be going up to Jacksonville next week. They'll probably do a podcast up there without me. But
thank goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be great for you guys to
we actually get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to like leave you with this Jacksonville story. My second year covering the Bucks in 1996, I went up there when Mike Allstott and Donnie Abraham were the draft picks that year, in addition to Reagan Upshaw and Marcus Jones. But the two guys that really jumped out early were Allstott and Abraham. And when the Bucks had joined practices with the Jaguars, Donnie Abraham got the assignment of covering Andre Bad Moon Rison, who was a heck of a receiver in his prime with Atlanta and also with Jacksonville. And he covered him like glue. And I remember Herm Edwards saying after the practice, man, I tell you, that Donnie Abraham, he's a rookie, but man, he's got ice water in his veins. He's got ice in his veins, you know? And we did, this is back in the old Buccaneer magazine days, of course, and I put a picture of Donnie Abraham silhouetted behind a glacier. And that was the cover of that particular issue. And Donnie was a very, very, very soft-spoken guy, really quiet guy. But he loved the nickname because I put the Iceman Cometh, you know, on there as the headline. And
another superhero reference, but go ahead.
Yeah, but that's, okay, sure, you're right, okay. X-Men. But he loved the Iceman nickname, and so much so that even today, whenever I see him, hey, what's up, Iceman? And Iceman21 is his Twitter handle. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It all started there in Jacksonville when he covered Andre Rison. And, of course, that year as a rookie, 5 interceptions, set the rookie record for the Buccaneers.
What
first
year
was pick,
that?
1996.
Fake news. Twitter wasn't around back then, Trevor. We just busted Scott on a false story.
His first interception came on Sunday night TNT football in Denver against John Elway.
I remember that.
It's a nice pick.
Got that game on
TNT
VHS.
Football sounds like an XFL, like half football, half wrestling kind
it
of.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job. I can't remember who the commentators were. I can hear the voice of the guy, but I can't remember, but it was good. We're going to wrap up this podcast, but we want to dedicate this to our good friend who passed away this week. We lost a good Buccaneer fan, a great Pewter Report supporter.
Absolutely.
A person who gave in this charity, was very involved with what the Buck and all of their community endeavors, has been at all of our bowling events so far. We're going to miss him. Richard Zeller passed away. And we will be announcing any funeral arrangements and things like that as soon as we get them later today or tomorrow on Twitter. If anybody wants to pay their respects to the Buccaneers, have requested photos. They're going to be paying their respects to Richard.
He passed away on Tuesday, and we saw him and talked to him
Monday.
In the stands on Monday at training camp practice with his daughter Haley there, as always, little Princess Nasty.
She was there, and
he was there enjoying the Bucks training camp practice.
Yep, and he's been at every one of them. He was a huge Buccaneer fan, and love Pewter Report, but what he really loved was the help, and Richard always did that. And anyway, good enough. We will be back on Friday night with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook for Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sycamus, and we'll see you Friday. Sidewalk in the snow and laugh at all the lovers in their planes. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second I can find. Hope it isn't me who's left behind. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. One day I'll be gone.
day you'll be